I know that over the years I have talked about kids on many different occasions, and I think sometimes I need to try to find a different thought or a different illustration to use, and yet at the same time, I tell myself most of us are either raising kids or we have already raised kids, and so it should be that the majority of us can identify with the story I'm telling or the thought I'm trying to get us to consider. And then I think about this, that as children of God, more times than not, whether we'd like to admit it or not, we can identify with how our children behave, because sometimes in our relationship with the Lord, we're still fairly childish. And it's not always a bad thing to be childish in our behavior and in our approach to the Lord. Sometimes it is. And so this morning I'm going to talk about children once more, and I'm sure that you can identify with this and relate to this. But as we think about this scripture this morning, I want us to think about our children. And something that we know is this, is that at some point our kids are going to come to us and they are going to want something from us. They are going to want something from us, or they are going to need something from us. And they have come to us because they recognize we are their only hope in this particular matter. And so sometimes they come to us and they want permission to do something. Sometimes they come to us wanting us to take them somewhere so that they can do something they want to do. Sometimes they come to us and they say, "Would you please buy this for me? I really, really want it." So there are many reasons why a child may come to us and make their request known. Now, I think you've probably dealt with this at some point, at least once, with one of your children, that as they come to you with their request, that as they come to you with the desire upon their heart and mind, they come with a sales pitch, so to speak. Has this ever happened to you? They come with a sales pitch. And what I mean by that is this. They come to you and they say something like this. "Since my room is clean, do you think maybe I could?" Or they may say something like this. "Dad, since I've taken care of the dogs and all my homework is done, do you think it would be possible if?" They might say something like this. "Dad, you know, I got that birthday money. You know, I got that Christmas money, or I worked and I earned a little bit of money. Would you take me to the store so that I could buy whatever it is they're interested in?" They recognize that their parent is their only hope in getting accomplished or getting the permission they need to do whatever it is they are interested in. And so they come with this sales pitch to try to sweeten the pot, so to speak. And they say, "Dad or Mom, because of this, would you please do this?" And as a parent, you and I cannot deny this truth, that sometimes that has an impact on us. There are times that that influences our decision. Whenever they come to us and they say, "Our room is clean," or "My room is clean," or "I've taken care of the dogs," or "My homework is done," or "I've done what it was you told me to do," there are times that we listen to their sales pitch, we listen to their presentation, and we take it into consideration. Okay, they have done these things. So therefore, based upon their behavior, based upon their actions, I'm going to do what it is they are asking me to do, or I will allow what it is they're asking permission for. We know that to be the case in our homes. Now, with that in mind, I want us to think about something I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in our midweek service. I want us to think about this truth that in life, questions arise and direction is needed. There is no person in this world who goes through life with all the answers. There is no person in this life who goes through their days without occasionally having some kind of a question and having some kind of a need for direction. So whenever the questions arise in life and whenever the direction is needed in life, I think you and I would understand this, that it is vitally important that we give attention to where we seek the answers for life's questions. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a thought, and everyone is willing to give you some kind of direction. And so if I have a question in life, if you have a question in life, if I need direction or if you need direction, It is of utmost importance that I consider the source of the answer or the source of the direction I am receiving, because just because I get advice doesn't mean it was good advice or right advice. Though the person may have meant well, though the person may care about me, they could be exactly, completely, entirely wrong in what it is they are telling me to do. And so I need to consider the source of where I get some direction and where I get my advice or my counsel. We know this to be true. For a Bible believer, by faith we accept that the Bible is always right in the direction or the counsel or the advice that it would give. The Bible does not just give good advice, the Bible gives right advice. The Bible does not just give sincere advice or sincere direction, it gives accurate advice and accurate direction. So whenever I've got an issue with a relationship, the Word of God does not just give me an opinion, it gives me the right opinion. If I've got a question about child rearing, it does not just give me some thoughts to consider, it gives me the right thoughts to apply to my life. And you could insert any question that we may have there, and we could say the Word of God speaks to it, and the Word of God gives clear, accurate, right information and counsel that we need for our lives. As that is so, look in chapter 119, verse 125. In verse 125, toward the middle of the verse, the writer says this, "Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies." Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Now here's what we see immediately, that this is a request. God, I am asking you to give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. What does it mean whenever he speaks of testimonies? We should know this by now, but for those who may not have been a part of the study, the word testimonies would also mean this, for it to be the statutes or the precepts or the laws or the commandments or the teachings of God's word. And so here's the request that is stated in verse 125. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies, thy precepts, thy laws, thy statutes, thy commandments, your instruction. God, this is what I am asking you for, understanding so that I can know it. So what does it mean whenever he asks for understanding so that he can know? Well, he is saying, Lord, I need insight. I need some perception so that I can recognize or I can discern what your word or what your testimonies teach. It's as though the author understands this, that sometimes when you go to the Word of God, though it is right and though it is correct information that you receive, sometimes the Word of God is not naturally discerned by us. There are times because of our sinful flesh, there are times because of our carnal approach to life, there are times that we go to the Word of God, and the Word of God, though clear and precise and accurate and right, it stands in complete contrast to what we think or what we feel or what the world tells us to think or what the world tells us to feel. And so there are times that we come to the Word of God and we don't understand what the Word of God is teaching because of our own simplicities or our own sins or our own failures. And so it makes sense that the writer would make this request, God, please give me understanding so that I can know what your word teaches. It's a good request to make. I'm going to say more about this in a moment, but let me just go ahead and say this, that for you and I to have a similar request would be of great value to you and I. You and I would do ourselves a great favor to have a desire to know and understand, to be able to discern and to recognize and to grasp the truths of God's Word. We would not just do ourselves a great favor, we would do our families a great favor. We would be doing our friends a great favor. We would be doing our church family a great favor. There is no one in our lives who would not be benefited by you and I having this simple request, God, give me understanding so that I can know thy testimonies or what your word teaches. So let me just go ahead and throw this in right now, that if that is not a prayer of yours on a regular basis, you are robbing yourself from the blessings of God's word. Amen. If you are not praying, God, give me understanding so that I can know thy testimonies, you are robbing yourself, you are robbing your family, you are robbing this church family, you are robbing your friends, you are robbing people in this community, because everyone is positively affected by the one who lives according to the truths of God's word. So if you and I do not have that kind of request, if you and I do not have that kind of a prayer on a regular basis, then you and I are hurting ourselves and everyone that we have dealings with. Several weeks ago, we dealt from this passage, this truth. We dealt with the idea of God, open thou mine eyes. It should be our desire that God would help us see and to know and to understand God's word. That should be our desire, just as it was the desire of the one who wrote this psalm. So as he says in verse 125, give me understanding that I may know thy stats or know thy testimonies. That I may know thy testimonies, he says in the first part of the verse, I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Now here's what we'll notice in the next couple of moments. As the request is made for understanding so that he can know the testimonies of the Lord, it's like the writer wants to sweeten the pot, so to speak. It's like he comes to the Lord with this request, and for lack of better words, as I used a moment ago in the illustration, it's like the writer of the verse is going to come with his sales pitch or his presentation. And he's going to say, God, I'm asking you for understanding that I can know thy testimonies, but before I get to the request, here's what I'd like to say, and here's what I'd like to declare. God, I'm your servant. And based upon the fact that I am your servant, I am now asking you for understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Well, what does it mean whenever he says that he is the servant of the Lord? What does it mean to be the servant of God? Well, here is what a servant was. A servant was one who was at the disposal of their master. The servant was the one who waited on and served their master. Whatever the master wanted, that is what the servant did. Whatever the master required, that is what the servant did. The servant was always at the disposal of the master. Now, friends, right there, that's a pretty strong claim to make. For the writer to say, God, you know that I am at your disposal, and God, you know that I wait upon you, and God, that I serve you, God, you know that I'm your servant, that is a very bold claim to make. But the word servant also reminds us of this, that the servant enjoyed no rights or authority in the presence of the master. Whenever the servant and the master were in the same room, the servant was not on the same level of authority as the master. They were not equal. They were not on the same plane. They were not on the same level in the social structure of their day. No, whenever the servant was in the presence of the master, the servant had no rights and the servant had no authority. The servant, again, was completely subjected to the will and to the demands and to the wishes of the master. So he says, I am thy servant. God, I have been at your disposal. God, I have served you. God, I exercise no authority in your presence. God, I understand that I have no rights in your presence. God, I understand who I am before you. And it's from that basis that I am asking for the understanding and the discernment that I need from your word. Now, as we think about all that, keep this in mind. That in their day, not every servant was in that position because they were forced to be in that position. There were servants who, for different reasons, they were compelled to be that servant to their master. It was a choice they made personally. So whenever you read of a servant, though many times it would have been a forced position, though many times it would have been something the person had no say in, there were certainly times in which a person had made themselves to be at the disposal of their master. They had done it voluntarily. And there were times that the servant would voluntarily surrender their authority and their rights to the authority and the rights of their master. There were actually people in the days of Scripture who would willingly submit themselves as a servant to the authority of their master. Now, I trust you know this, but I want us to be reminded of this, that in serving the Lord, it is always a voluntary process. No one can be forced to serve the Lord. No one can be forced to be at the disposal of God. No one can be forced to surrender their rights and their authority to who God is and to the authority that God has. And so as you read this verse and he declares, I am thy servant, we need to keep this in mind, that this was not something he was forced to do, but this was something he was compelled to do and voluntarily did in his personal life, in his relationship with God. So if you'll consider all this, here's what the man says. Here's what the writer says. God, you know that I am your servant. I have placed myself at your disposal, and I have surrendered my rights and my authority to your rights and to your authority. And because of that, I am asking you to give me understanding, to give me discernment, to give me perception so that I can know and recognize and perceive what your word teaches. That being the case, keep this in mind. Like a parent, God knew to the extent in which that statement was true. The man did not just pen the words, God, I am thy servant, and God say, oh, okay, well, I didn't realize that. Oh, well, that's fantastic news. I had not ever noticed that before. No. Listen, like the parent, whenever the writer penned the words and made the bold statement, I am thy servant, God knew to what extent that statement was true. God knew to what extent the writer had placed himself at the disposal of God. And God knew to what extent the writer had placed himself under the authority of God and surrendered his rights to God. God knew to what extent the man's claim was by way of accuracy or truthfulness. God knew whether or not the man was truly a servant of his. And that, no doubt, would influence the decision on whether or not to give the understanding so that he would be able to know the testimonies of God's law. If the man claimed to be a servant, but he was not a servant, and he came to God seeking the understanding so that he could know, the understanding and the discernment would not have been available to him. These things, as we've been talking about in our Wednesday night series, these things are spiritually discerned. These things come about through a spiritual maturity, through a spiritual walk with God. And so if the writer of this verse had not truly been a servant of God, then the understanding that he claimed to desire so that he could know the Word of God would not have been granted, because you do not get to live as a rebel and understand and know the Word of God. And so this morning, as we consider this passage, I said a moment ago that every one of us would do ourselves a favor. It would be a wonderful idea if we would ask the Lord for understanding. We would do ourselves a great favor to have this desire to want to know what God's Word says. You and I could never hurt ourselves to any level or to any degree by having a desire to know what God's Word says. We couldn't hurt ourselves. So that in mind, suppose we were to pray and say, Lord, I'm asking you to give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Suppose for just a moment that's what we decided to pray. Suppose for just a moment that's what we decided to start implementing into our daily prayer life. I want us to think about this question. As we came to the Lord with such a request, as we came to our Heavenly Father with such a desire of or from Him, could we begin the request by saying this? Lord, I am thy servant. I don't know. It's kind of tough, isn't it? God, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to ask you for understanding. And God, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to ask you for discernment. And God, I'm going to ask of something, and I'm going to ask something that only you can give me. That being the spiritual understanding that I need in this area of my life. Now, God, before I ask that, I just want to make this statement. God, I'm your servant. That's a tough question to answer. Because what that would then imply is this. Is God voluntarily, I have placed myself under your authority. Think about that for just a moment. God, I'm not being forced to do this. God, no one is making me do this. God, I'm not doing this because my wife told me I'm supposed to. God, I'm not doing this because my husband told me I was supposed to. God, I'm not doing this because my parents told me I'm supposed to do this. No, no, God, I have voluntarily surrendered my authority to your authority. How many of us this morning would have to be honest and say this, that is a hard thing to do? I don't know about your flesh, but I know what my flesh wrestles with. I want to maintain a portion of my authority. I want to maintain a portion of what I decide to do with my life. I want to maintain a portion of that authority that says, this is what my family's going to do. I want to maintain a portion of authority that says, I will do this with my finances, and this is how we will arrange our priorities. I don't know about you, but my flesh wants to hold on to a piece of that authority. And if I am holding on to a piece of that authority in my life, then you know what I have yet to do? I have yet to voluntarily surrender my authority to God's authority. I believe there are days I could say, Lord, I am thy servant, but if I were honest, I would have to say this. There are other days in which I would say it, but God would know it's not true. Because my authority has been exercised more than his authority has been exercised. Think about that statement for just a moment. Think about that question for just a moment. Could I honestly say, God, I am thy servant? Because what that would mean then is this. God, I give up all my rights. Voluntarily. God, I am surrendering my rights to whatever you would have for me. How many times does our flesh wrestle with God's will for our life? God, I don't deserve that. God, my family doesn't deserve that. God, I deserve better. God, we deserve better. God, do you not know what's going on? God, do you not understand what's going on? God, do you not see this? I don't know again about your flesh. I just know about my flesh. But I know that there are times that I want to hold on to my rights. And I don't want to surrender my rights to His will for my life. Oh, but God, in the midst of me holding on to my rights, I'm asking you to give me understanding so that I can know thy testimonies. That's not much of a sales pitch. That's not much of an approach to God to come with a little hint of rebellion in our lives and say, God, now as I hold on to my rights, I'm going to ask you to do something that only you can do. That is not something that would compel Him very strongly to give us the understanding that we need for the questions of this life. Does it make sense? Would I be able to say, God, I am thy servant. God, I have surrendered my authority to your authority. And God, I have surrendered my rights to your will. Would we be able to say this, God, I am totally and completely at your disposal. God, whatever you want from me, whatever you require of me, that is what I am willing to do for you. Could we not be honest this morning and just say this, that there are times that we struggle to rearrange our lives for His desires? We don't mind having those days in which we're at His disposal, but to put our lives at His disposal? I mean, let's be honest. We want to be able to dictate some of what happens in our lives. I want to be able to block off this amount of time for me. I want to be able to block off this amount of time for my family. I want to block off this amount of time for my pleasure. I want to block off this amount of time for you know, taking care of what I want to take care of. It's not to say that any of that stuff is wrong in and of itself, but so many times, here's what happens. God would like for us to do more, but because we're not at His disposal, we're not doing what He would like us to be doing. And yet if we're not careful, we'll suggest that we're His servant. Well, if I'm not at the disposal of God, then I am not His servant. If I'm not waiting on Him, if I am not serving Him, if I am not of such a spirit that He says, go here and I go there, do this and I do this, if I am not of that spirit, then I am not at His disposal. And so many times what we as Christians want to do, and I don't mean to repeat this, but I want to make sure that we understand this. So many times what we do as Christians is this, is we determine what portions of our lives God will get. We determine how much time He will get. We determine what segment of our lives He will get. And so we come to God with all these little, I don't know what you'd call them, just all these little, I'm drawing a blank, but we come to God with all of our pre-written rules, so to speak, that God, this is what I'm going to hold on to, and God, this is what I'm going to keep, and God, you get the rest. Now, based on that, I'm your servant, right? And the master would say, no. You're not my servant. Because until you surrender your authority, you're rebellious. until you surrender your rights, you're not surrendered. Until you are at my complete and total disposal, you're still doing what you want to do. The Master knows to what extent we are truly His servant. And if you and I want direction, if you and I want understanding, if you and I want discernment, if you and I want to know what God's Word teaches, so that we don't just have an opinion on life's questions, but we have the answers to life's questions, if we want to understand and know, then we have to be His servant. I think most of us recognize this morning, don't we, that that is a never-ending battle? We can sit here this morning and say, well, I've been a servant pretty good today, and we may have been a servant pretty well so far, but tomorrow, you know what our flesh will cry out? Our flesh will cry out and say, hey, it's about your authority. It's about your rights. It's about your desires. It's about doing what you want to do. And if it doesn't happen to us tomorrow, it'll happen at some point in the future where our flesh is going to say, listen, enough of this surrender stuff, enough of this yielding stuff to the authority and the rights and the disposal of God. Our flesh is going to cry out against it. But I just want to remind us, anytime we come to God and we say, God, I need some help. God, I need some understanding. God, I need some direction. God, I need your word to direct me and to tell me what I'm supposed to do. Before we can ask that, we need to be able to answer this question truthfully, that I've been a servant, that I've been living a life of surrender to the will of God in our life, to the will of God in my life. I want to ask you this morning, though you probably didn't come to church thinking about the question, I want to ask you this morning, are you a servant? Are you a servant? See, we can't answer the question and say, well, I'm probably 75% servant. No, either we're a servant or we're not. We're either living a life of submission and surrender and obedience, or we're not. Brother Kyle, you just said it's a struggle. I know it's a struggle, so is it anything we're even working on? I mean, is it something that's even crossed your mind in the last week? Is it anything that's even crossed your mind in the last month? I mean, to what extent can we answer this question? With what measure of honesty would we be able to say, I am thy servant? If it's not anything we ever think about, I can assure you it's not anything we are. If it's something that never crosses our mind, then it's something we seldom do. How honestly can we answer the question, I am thy servant? Because until we can say, God, I am thy servant, then we have no right to even ask Him for understanding. Because in essence, we're asking Him to bless the rebel, and that makes no sense. Are we His servant? Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, I pray that you would help us to take a moment and just to look at our lives, and Holy Spirit, that you would